Well, welcome back to another podcast for Uncommon. I feel like it's been so long. I think I've grown, actually. So, but we are focusing on depression in this one.
Such a lighthearted topic.
It wasn't our intention to do mental health in January and then depression 2 months later, but here we are.
Yeah.
We're trying to do some research on search volume and what people are interested in. And unfortunately, depression, you're on deck. So.
Yeah, I think you can see that more topics that we've discussed in the past like 6 months or so have been topics of a little bit more of a serious note, only because we deal with serious issues on a daily basis. So, you know, as we kind of walk through these different seasons, and you know, some of these videos may not pertain to you specifically, but maybe in the future, or maybe you've dealt with in the past and kind of overcome that hurdle. There's always something to glean from this, whether it's forewarning or, you know, encouragement to others around you.
Yeah, so before you turn that dial, we're talking about hope in the darkness.
Half our audience probably has no idea what you mean by that phrase.
Old school radio, don't turn that dial, come on. Hope in the darkness and overcoming depression with faith. That's the topic of our first podcast. And so we're diving into finding light in the darkness. Mm-hmm. And as we just exited the celebration of Easter, the epitome of Christ being in the tomb and then coming forth into light in life, we thought this would be a great segue. And so focusing on overcoming depression with faith, especially as we embrace the season of spring. Mm-hmm. Now, when you think of spring, what do you think of, Joshua?
Well, when I was a younger man, I thought about spring break, but now that's just a phrase. Nowadays, spring just feels like allergies, honestly. That's my first thought.
I think of cutting grass, unfortunately. And also I think of crawfish from back home. So we've already been pricing crawfish for that boil. I hope none of your kids plan on going to college, but we will have another boil this year. So our first segment is talking about understanding depression through a biblical lens, because I think everybody has experienced depression at some point in time. Mm-hmm. This is not something that is only for those who have ongoing depression. This is something that I think everybody has experienced it in some fashion.
Yes.
And so in a society where they struggle with mental health, and that's often stigmatized, how do we understand and address depression through the lens of our faith? And so have you ever run across anybody in your circle that has dealt with or dealing with depression?
Yeah, I think we talked in previous podcasts about just the weight of the world these days and the generations that are kind of catching up behind the other ones, and all the connectivity issues that we're seeing with social media and just the, you know, news in general and everything like in between. But there are plenty of people that I know in my life personally and just, you know, in passing that have either dealt with or currently dealing with depression. And it's always kind of a similar story. They always feel like it's almost like, man, I feel like less of a man because I'm dealing with this.
Sure.
And this goes back to our previous podcast about mental health, where we talk about how this weird taboo of talking about mental health or depression that almost makes guys feel like, oh man, I got to ask you for help. I'm less of a man now. Or even to a greater extent, some people are like, well, I'm a Christian. What do I have to be depressed about? You know, I'm saved, you know, that kind of thing. So, and there's plenty of studies out there about, you know, mental or brain chemistry and kind of how that impacts you and stuff like that. So if you're, you know, there's a lot more behind the scenes, but, you know, a lot can be said about a healthy mindset, especially one that's rooted in faith and the Bible, and just being surrounding people around yourself that can be positive influences. Because I know there was a guy in college I hung out with quite often that he dealt with depression, and he had a very addictive personality.
Sure.
And if you're not careful, that kind of stuff rubs off on you as well. Sure. And I remember very vividly having conversations with him, basically having to have conversations like, okay, I'm here for you, but we need to have some like boundaries set aside so you don't just like trauma dump all over me every time we meet. Or sure. How can we get you on the right steps? Because, you know, it's one thing to just kind of sit there in these kind of states and not do anything, and then to bring someone else into that with you and still not make an effort to take steps forward. And that becomes dangerous.
So you can imagine, like, you know, so you think of today's news headlines, right? News always has headlines. You're going to make something out of nothing. Even if it was the best day the whole world had ever seen, they would find some way to spin that. But can you imagine the mental exercises people were going through during the world wars? Actively going off to war. World War One, Two, Korea, Vietnam, the Gulf Wars. I mean, you know, I don't think there's a lot of saber rattling, but you've never experienced. Last one I was kind of experienced was in '91, the Gulf War, but our parents and grandparents. They went off to war,
right?
And so you can imagine that the depression that came out of those situations, I'm not trying to downplay what's happening today, but you can see that there are some generations that, like, you think that they should always be depressed. It feels that way. They've gone through some things. Mm-hmm. They've seen some things. And so as we look at some of the stories in the Bible, we kind of see that same thing, that some characters, man, they've seen some things. And some are, well, not quite as bad. When Jonah booked his 3-day cruise, it's not the same as maybe sitting under the tree.
Right.
It was a different thing for him. So our first one is talking about Elijah, his moment of despair in 1 Kings 19, 4 through 18. And so when I was reading it over again, he's just kind of like, I see him throw his hands up like, I can't do this anymore. I just can't. I can't even, right? And so, you know, God's like, okay, let's take a little time out for you here. Get in this cave. Calm down a little bit. And then, you know,
take a nap, eat some food, we'll regroup in the morning kind of thing.
Right. I'll pass by, give you a nod, that type thing. He wasn't in the whirlwind, wasn't in the earthquake or the storm. It was in that small, still voice. But what I liked about that story is that he didn't just like, you know, okay, calm down. Let's not get too depressed about this. But he gave Elijah a purpose after that. He's like, he still said, you got work to do. Go do it. And so I think some people who struggle with mental health or depression may feel that they cannot be used by God effectively. And that is contrary to the stories that we read in Scripture.
Yeah, well, we talk about this often, about just the fact that God constantly uses people that are ill-equipped and unqualified constantly throughout the Bible to glorify him. I mean, Moses, Jonah, Elijah, I mean, Paul.
TJ.
I think there's evidence in that alone of like, because if God had picked the best people in the Bible to glorify him and spread the kingdom of God, we'd be like, oh, see, I'm not as good as X, Y, and Z guy in the Bible. I mean, he chose all the right things. Like, even David, the man after God's own heart, sinned and committed adultery, killed his friend just because of that. And still, God used him to glorify himself. So I think you can see that, you know, no matter our shortfalls, God can use us. I think that should be, you know, a good indicator of his master plan in action.
Sure, just like Elijah cried out to God. David needed Nathan. You know, everybody needs someone that they could maybe talk to about that. And so the role of our community should be healing.
Yes.
You know, the body of Christ should be there for support with each other. You know, if you're going through something, I may not be going through that same thing. I may be having a great day. I can console you, vice versa. Or even if we're both having different issues, mm-hmm. we can still take solace in that, you know, God is good.
Right.
And so I think spending time with others, you know, aka support groups, and then also effective communication about your situation.
Yes.
If you are struggling, sorry, if you're struggling with depression, keeping it to yourself is never the right answer. And so I think seeking some help, talking about it, working through it. I mean, you always see the AA group, right? Hello, my name is TJ. I'm a recovering alcoholic. Well, I'm an alcoholic, mm-hmm. right? You know, you get into a group, other people going through the same thing, and you own that situation, and you talk about it. And so I think finding a way to talk through some of your depression would be a great second step. First step is to be praying about that. Yeah. Second step should be seeking some support for that.
One of the best ways to create long-lasting and deep, meaningful relationships with other men and just people in general is being vulnerable with them. And, sure. You know, this is the kind of thing that, you know, the running joke about you internalize every action and thought and thing you say throughout the day. Like, you know, oh, I said you too to the waiter at lunch when he said, enjoy your meal. He's going to be thinking about that when they're on the other side. Not even that doesn't even like hit their top 20 of the day.
Sure.
And so I think that we over dramaticize a lot of things that happen in our life without realizing that people on the other side are just as, you know, concerned about how the people view them and just wanting someone to hear them out.
Sure.
I mean, this is a twofold piece of, one, you need to be willing to have that conversation, be vulnerable in front of other guys, but also you as the guy of that group need to create an environment where that is acceptable and not, you know, someone says, oh man, I'm having a crappy day, and then you make fun of them.
Like, yeah,
you're
right.
Making the environment conducive to that conversation.
Right.
Because that's a two-way street. Very easily you can have someone be like, man, I'm just really struggling. You're like, sucks to suck, man.
Right.
You know, so back on the football, that kind of conversation. So, you know, keeping in mind to, one, always be ready to have that conversation if you are struggling. But two, you know, sometimes it requires you to go out of your way and checking in with those guys and be like, hey, man, just wanted to, how you doing today? You know, no quick answers. How you doing? How's your prayer life going? Right. How's your Bible study going? And that can really create meaningful conversations. When, you know, text, phone call, whatever, the atmosphere just needs to be an environment where, you know, people can feel like they have those types of deep, meaningful conversations.
Because everyone you've ever seen, heard of, read about struggles with something other than Christ.
Yeah.
Every person on the planet who's ever existed except Christ struggles with something. Mm-hmm. We read a lot of books through Audible, and I just finished reading the Elon Musk, I guess, autobiography, I guess. And, you know, like, billions don't even, you know, cover it, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars, right?
Right.
Struggles with all kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Asperger's, communication, emotions, family, health, on and on. Mm-hmm. Pride, self-esteem, everything. And so, but we don't think that. We think that person's got it going on.
Right.
That person's rich. Look at the car they drive. Look how thin she is, whatever it is. And we associate that with, that's a great life. My life is horrible, and that's why I'm depressed all the time.
Yeah.
And so I think keeping this in this proper position is important, because while it's important, I started something with mom like 2 weeks ago. There's three categories. There's big thing, little thing, no thing. We have a tendency to make everything a big thing. Mm-hmm. And so now when we're going through something, or she's going through something, I always give her big thing, little thing, no thing. And it just makes us go through and identify that topic mm-hmm. as the things that are no things need to be treated as such.
Yeah.
And so it's important for us to keep that perspective. So our our verse on this is Psalm 34:18.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit.
Now again, that verse, it wouldn't be, the Lord wouldn't be close to us and talking about the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit if they were not people who were crushed in spirit, yeah. Right? So to think that, man, we're all going to be skipping to Malou, you know, just rainbow days and chocolate rivers, that is not a good view. It's great to be optimistic, just that if you are, you know, maybe unrealistic,
yeah.
It's going to be setting yourself up for some situations that may lead to depression.
Yeah, I know my wife would very easily classify me as a pessimist, and I had to be very careful of that because right. That pessimism can expand to other areas, whereas sure. Like I'm mostly pessimistic about outside influences, and I know many people who are pessimistic about themselves and, you know, their abilities. They downplay things like that, or they do, you know, self-deprecating humor. I was very heavy into that when I was in college, and I had sure. to, you know, be conscious of that. Because at the end of the day, you know, if no one's going to be rooting for you, you better be rooting for yourself.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, God made you as a wonderful creation. He loves you, mm-hmm. and who are we to say we're not lovable?
Yeah.
So
I'm reading through, or listening through, the 12 Rules of Life, and he was talking about...
Jordan Peterson?
Jordan Peterson, yeah. He recently was in the chapter I'm in, about halfway through, he mentions about comparing yourself to the previous day's you and not the today's version of someone else.
Sure.
I thought that was really interesting, that it's something we all do. Social media has done a great job of creating these environments where we look at someone like Elon Musk, or there's a YouTuber that me and my wife have been watching for over a decade now, and he is very vocal about his mental health and how he struggles with, and all the physical ailments of Tourette's and tics he has and depression he suffered through. And if you didn't know that and you just went off like the outside view of his social media and videos, you'd be like, oh man, he's having fun. He's playing video games. I'd love to get paid to play video games. Sure. And on the other side of that, he's struggling through mental health and stuff like that. So yeah, I think it's always, even me knowing about it, I catch myself comparing myself to other people. I'm like, I look at other couples like, oh man, look how lovey-dovey they are. We're not quite like that right now. Or, you know, hey, they have a great house and they have kids. Why don't we aren't that space kind of thing?
Sure.
And, you know, that's an entirely different journey for them versus us. And, you know, it's easy to do. It's difficult to bridge.
Sure. And it's, I think it's kind of built into us. Mm. Cain was jealous of Abel. Mm. Eve and Adam were jealous of the knowledge that they didn't have because of the tree was there. Mm. It's like, well, I want to be like God, you know? So we do have some resources on this. Obviously, as we mentioned in the beginning of this, we did 2 podcasts on mental health mm-hmm. as a whole, but also we did some articles on this. We do have a couple of originals. Mm-hmm. We have PTSD, Battle of the Mind. We have one that just launched, I think it was January, called Silent Wars. Mm-hmm. That's related to this. And there's probably a dozen articles on our website at uncommon.org to check out on mental illness. So before we go to our break, be sure to check out our website for those kind of resources, as well as our membership platform. We have monthly, yearly, and lifetime. And when you sign up for one of those, you get access to all these type of resources that are not available to the public. Like, you cannot get any of the originals if you don't have a membership. And so things like workbooks and good talks and masterclass and that kind of stuff. And so be sure to check out uncommon.org as we break for some very appreciated sponsors of the Uncommon podcast. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor. At Sterling Technology Solutions, our mission is to help businesses in North Carolina maximize their profitability and success through our innovative managed IT services. Visit us at sterling-technology.com.
Well, welcome back, guys. Thanks for spending some time with our sponsors. We greatly appreciate them. As we kind of pick up this conversation about depression, we figured we would take a step back and talk a little bit more about kind of the analogies we can make towards the springtime that we're seeing directly responding to Easter and resurrection and that kind of thing in relation to depression and how we can kind of view that through that lens.
Sure.
And so one of the big things that we talk about a lot around this time is just the renewal process, exiting winter for most states. I know some states just got snow last weekend, but
yes,
for most people, this is a time of kind of like, you know, oh, it's spring cleaning time. You have to clean up the house, spend more time outdoors, and seasonal depression kind of goes down. Mm. And it's interesting to see how much a part the seasons can play on depression as a whole. I know a lot of people, seasonal depression feels like it was a joke about a decade ago, and now is a very real thing. The shorter days, cold, the darkness, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's easy to forget about that light when, it's dark at like 4 o'clock.
2 o'clock in the afternoon.
one of the did you knows for this section was, studies show that spending time in nature can reduce the symptoms of depression and anxiety. And I think it's interesting that when springtime comes around, the weather is nicer and people spend more time outdoors.
Sure.
That depression kind of drops. It seems kind of a correlation there.
I know when mom gets ants in her pants and she wants to go walking, she's like, this past week, we got in 3 walks last week. And that's been the first time, outdoor,
yeah,
and neighborhood kind of thing. We always walk in the rich neighborhood next door to us, pretend we live there, that type of thing. And but it hasn't been since probably like October.
Yeah.
And so this coming, well, in this case, very soon, daylight saving time is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so it won't be dark at 2 p.m. anymore. If we didn't get Congress to pass that stupid law, don't even get me going about it. So, but I think getting out there and going for a walk, people say, well, I'm gonna go clear my head.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. We recognize there's some benefit to getting out and get some fresh air,
yeah,
right? We say it, we just don't always if I was to get out there and walk every day, mm-hmm, for half hour, get some sunshine, get some fresh air, think about the things, they're the same things, just that different location sometimes sheds different light on it,
yeah,
and no pun intended, that you kind of say, I think I'm making that no thing into a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we can look at seasonal changes like this. We can correlate them to the resurrection of Christ, changing from death to life, being born again, being a new creation in Christ, in a person. And so all these vernacular we see in Scripture talks about the changing of our soul and our lives. And so we can kind of take a hint from this season to make some changes that may impact us or anyone who's going through some depression.
Mm-hmm.
And, there are probably states like Seattle that, they may not get a whole lot of sunshine, mm-hmm, even in spring and summer. I don't know. It feels the running joke is always like, it's always raining in Seattle, yeah, kind of thing. And then you go to Arizona. That's just constant sunshine, or San Diego or Florida, feels like there's a lot more sunshine. Mm-hmm. And so wherever you are, if you get a chance to get out and to God's beautiful creation, mm-hmm. find a park that's got a walkway or a neighborhood that's got a nice, you know, path to it. Get out there and walk. People do prayer walks like this.
Yes.
And so change that mindset, I think, will be a good start to changing your focus on depression.
Yeah, I mean, pattern interrupt is a prevalent thing throughout everything, sure. whether it's you scrolling through social media or sitting there stewing on, you know, depressive thoughts. I know that, you know, changing environment can very easily be a helpful scenario. There's the I forget the term for it, but it's a term now. When you're walking through a door frame, sometimes you forget what you're walking into the room for.
A senior moment?
Well, so because your brain's like walking through that door frame, it goes, oh, we're just going to purge that information. So that's why whenever you walk through doors sometimes, like door frames, it resets what you're thinking about. It's real weird.
I don't think my brain is aware enough that I'm walking through door frames, but it does have senior moments, yeah. So you kind of forget things.
But yeah, sunshine and just being out in nature, I mean, there's a reason that, you know, nature's there to glorify the painting that God has created through life. There was a story a while back about a dude. He was not an architect, and he gave lots of money to some school, and he wanted to build the dormitories for that school. Oh, he has zero understanding what architecture works. He built this building. It contained like thousands of students, but not a single window was used. And so artificial light had to be pumped into it. And of course, everyone's like, do you understand? Like, that's basically prison. Like, you just made a prison.
Is that Alcatraz?
So all the statements were like, you know, there's psychological issues with not being exposed to sunlight for long periods of time.
Sure.
And so it reminds me of this, of like not being exposed to, whether it's sunlight, being outdoors, or just being active in general. Mm-hmm. You know, those endorphins that are pumped through us help in so many different capacities. I mean, the body is such an intricate machine that requires so much to keep it going, but there's so much that we can do to keep it at its peak performance.
Even our words,
yeah.
right? How we talk internally. You know, a woman stands in front of a mirror, they detest the reflection, mm-hmm. right? I'm fat, I got wrinkles, I got gray hair, my hair's not right, wrong shoes, whatever. Mm-hmm. How you talk to yourself about yourself impacts how you see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there was some skit on SNL, positive affirmations with something smiley or whatever. He's standing in front of a mirror. He's like, I'm smart enough. I'm good enough. Mm-hmm. You know, and just he would give himself, obviously it was a skit, but it's meant to be a bit of a pep talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see that and I would turn that into let's pray that.
Yeah.
Let's pray to God for a better perspective of ourselves and count our blessings,
mm-hmm.
right? And so we tend to focus on the negative.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't consider myself a pessimist. I'm a realist just through and through. And I love being a realist. But I could definitely see that our culture is somewhat geared toward pessimism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always show you the bad stories, and when I kind of that personality you see on social media is rarely the person you see in person.
Right.
And I would say mine is pretty accurate. I'm just as goofy in person as I am on social media. So that's a one-to-one ratio. But I think it's important for us to take up a multitude of steps. Our mindset, our location,
mm-hmm.
our words, all these things impact our lives. And it's even more so if you're not spending time in God's Word, not spending time in prayer. You're not going to maybe church or a small group or have a mentor. It's important for you to put yourself in a good situation and know that, if nothing else, God loves you.
Right.
And sent His Son to die for you. Anytime you feel like you're kind of not all that, Christ died for you. There is no higher praise for you as a person, me as a person, than Jesus loved me enough to die for me.
Yeah.
And you for you. So our verse for this segment is Isaiah 55:12. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Very picturesque. But if you ever hear leaves, you know, in the wind, they're rustling against each other, I guess that's the clapping.
I imagine a Disney Mickey Mouse old school cartoon where everything's got faces all of a sudden and whistling and clapping.
Right, the faces in the trunk of the tree, all the limbs are dancing. It's
like
kind of
acid
thing.
Trip or something.
Right. So I wanted to mention that a challenge for you, and this is for everybody listening to this, and this is not just this season. Let's make this a spring and summer challenge. Mm. Let's get out and walk at least a mile twice a week. That seems doable.
Yeah.
Now, if you go inside a store, it does not count. Go inside of a supermarket or a mall, it does not count. Bass Pro, it does not count. It's got to be outside. The sun is shining on you. You can see those dancing trees or whatever. Twice a week, get out there. And if you're by yourself, use it as a prayer walk. Yeah. If you're with someone, don't talk about your problems. Don't talk about your problems. Mm-hmm. Well, don't talk about your problems only. Yeah. Sometimes you got to talk through that, you know, and some counsel. But if you just go out there and you spend the whole time talking about negative stuff, I'm not quite sure it's as beneficial, because it's not like you are sharing to process, or you're just sharing because you, misery loves company, that type of thing. So that is our second segment. Be sure to check out our website for some additional resources around this, and it's at uncommon.org, and be sure to listen to some very appreciated sponsors of today's program. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. All right, all right, all right. Now, you can tell that I just finished reading Green Lights, the Matthew McConaughey book. Matthew, if you're listening, make a comment. I'm going to name drop. Hey, I've read that book. It was a great book. I highly recommend it. There's my plug. I'm not getting anything out of that. But anyway, this segment is about building a life of faith and resilience. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the word snowflake gets tossed around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's meant to be obviously derogatory. It's like you're delicate as a little rosebud or a snowflake. You just crumble kind of thing. And I would say that I would challenge all of us to try to be more resilient when it comes to the everyday life. Mm. Mondays are going to be Mondays. And Mondays have been around for a long time. You shouldn't be surprised. Oh, it's the beginning of the week. I wasn't expecting it to be there. It's always lurking.
Party to continue.
It's always lurking right behind Sundays. I would recommend, or at least encourage everyone to, I don't know, have a little more grit, right? Mm. Big thing, little thing, no thing. We tend to make no things, you know, just a much bigger issue. And by doing so, we turn even the mundane of a Monday afternoon. It's not a bad thing. It's just maybe work, mm-hmm. or it's a test you're studying for, or whatever it is. Into, I just can't go on with life.
Yeah. Well, I think, and I saw this a lot in college, where, you know, we talk about misery loves company.
Yeah.
People who tend to make mountains out of molehills tend to flock with other people who do that, and mm-hmm. that echo chamber is nasty to see how yeah. that turns out, because you set yourself up with other people who are just as pessimistic, or they suffer with depression, or they, you know, overhype the problems they suffer on a daily basis. That's going to come off on you on some capacity. And I do think it's interesting to hear the term snowflake has been around for a while now, but I do find that in my mind, I was like, oh, a snowflake at the end. Every aspect of that person is sensitive. And what I've come to realize is it's not always every aspect of the person is so fragile.
Right.
Usually it's, you know, a portion of their life, you know, their work life, you know, their prayer life, you know, the way they live, you know, romantically or whatever. So, you know, you may be like, man, I'm rock solid when it comes to my work ethic. But outside of that, man, I got, whew, my romantic life, I can't handle criticism when it comes to that.
Sure.
And so I've seen that a little bit more as I've gotten older, where it's kind of situational kind of fragility, I guess.
Yeah, I think that, you know, being resilient, I just finished reading another book. It's called Grit, Don't Quit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all these books, they all have kind of the same
yeah.
template and same thing. You read enough books, you're like, I've heard this before, you know. But I do think that sometimes it's good for us to be told or be reminded, all right, put your big boy pants on and let's get to work kind mm-hmm. of thing. Because I think that maybe it's because we are delivered so much negativity, we kind of want the opposite.
Mm.
I want my life to be 100% perfect in every aspect.
Mm.
And when it's not, something's wrong.
Right. When I struggle, I'm doing it incorrectly, or right. someone's against me.
Right.
And it's not just that, well, it just takes effort.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're stuck in traffic listening to this podcast, know that you're not the only one.
Mm.
Everybody gets in traffic. Everybody's got a job to work, and, you know, unless you're working from home kind of thing. And that's not the end of the world. It's just part of the process. And, hey, Jesus walked everywhere. You could walk to work if you want to change your rhythm here. But I do think that finding some resilience in our lives, and we can look at things like Genesis 37 through 50. I mean, that's just chapters, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is Joseph enduring all the trials, being thrown into pit, waiting for someone, you know, the slavers to come along and being traded. Potiphar's wife being thrown in prison,
mm-hmm.
on and on. If you were introduced to Joseph in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
it is my son Joseph. He is the youngest kind of thing. He's wearing his crazy coat. Yeah. And then you don't meet Joseph again for, I forget how long it was, like 6 years or something like that. You met Joseph again and say, oh, man, look, second in Egypt. Man, you're doing good for yourself. And then someone came along and said, let me tell you what happened
mm-hmm.
to Joseph between the coat of many colors and second in command. And you'd be like, that guy went through this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Moses, David, Paul, Job, on and on. Introduce your name at the beginning and your name at the end. You know, there's going to be a story to be told,
mm-hmm.
and it won't always be a happy one
mm-hmm.
at every moment. But do you have the grit, the moxie? There's your word from the 50s, moxie, to kind of weather that storm from the beginning of it to the end of it, you know?
Yeah. I think one thing to keep in mind, too, is while we talk about these characters and these men that, through, you know, that endured quite a bit, that resilience and grit and moxie, or whatever you want to call it, can be learned and trained.
Sure.
You know, if you feel like, you know, man, I can't stick with it. I struggle with, you know, always falling back in the same old rhythm. Like, it can be learned. It's a process, and it's not easy. Hence the name, you know, difficult and hard to get through resilient. But recently I had the epiphany at 27 years old that if I'm not good at something, I can just go learn to be better at it. And I am upset that it's taken me this damn long to figure that crap out. When I realize, hey, I suck at small talk, I should probably like learn how to be better at that part. You know, everything you can think of as your ideal person, of like, he's resilient, he's got grit, he's charismatic, he's a leader, you know, that all can be learned and trained, and, you know,
sure,
you can benefit from that. And so I think that's something that I keep in mind when I think, like, man, I'm not good enough in this area. Okay. Go
get better.
Go. Yeah. Like, the bar is low, so that's great. Right. Like, just get better.
I think dads used to call this building character. Mm. Right. And so here's a process of, of how that works. Dad says to the child, son or daughter, why don't you go outside and rake the leaves in the yard? They come back and they said, I finished the thing. And so let's go inspect it. It's like, you missed some things. Go rake the rest of it. Mm-hmm. That person's like, I just spent 3 hours raking this, and right, that is more. And then he comes back and tells the dad again, I think I finished. I got all the leaves in piles. It's like, great. You need to put them in bags. Mm-hmm. I got to do that too. It's that process that's showing you that there are difficult tasks that, you know, that you have to go through, but it builds character. So when you finish, when you do that job the second time, you're not shocked when you, oh, I need to go, I missed the pile over there, I go pick it up, and I got to put it in bags. You know you're not done. And so that's the lesson I think that we all can learn and apply to our spot of depression, that there are things that we need to go through, lessons to be learned, things to get better at. Mm. And I think everybody that I've kind of been exposed to that it looked like they're kind of going through some depression, it is not always the same thing that triggers it.
No.
It might be physical, locational, family, job, money, health, whatever. Mm-hmm. So you got to find what you're struggling with, but know that you're not alone. And there's some things that you can do. There's two things you take away from this. One, like Dr. said, there's something I'm bad at, I can go learn, get better at it. And two, if you are an adult, you can go buy a chocolate cake any day of the week.
Don't got to be anybody's birthday.
And your wife says you shouldn't, tell them I said you can.
That's going to get someone in trouble.
All right. Okay, so I think that if you are going through, if someone listening to this broadcast, if going through some depression, leave a comment. You don't have to get involved too deep in it, but, you know, tell them maybe how long you've been struggling with it, maybe some of the things you've tried that in their success rate kind of thing. So that would be a great way to engage in this podcast on any platform we're doing it on, especially on YouTube. And then some practical tips that would help, I think, in reiterating this, to one, strengthening our faith and our mental health capacity, is reading God's Word daily. Mm. Seeing other men and women in the Bible. I mean, we're in Ruth right now. Mm-hmm. You know, in that first two chapters of Ruth, there's some woe in that right there. There's some death and issues. Mm-hmm. And it's not till like, you know, the third and fourth chapter that it becomes the Redeemer, right? Mm-hmm. And so reading God's Word, praying daily, attending church weekly, you know, that activity doesn't make you a Christian, but it does put you in a situation where your pastor can unpack scripture, you can fellowship with like-minded believers, and have a conversation or pray with someone. That's a great thing. And get involved in a small group. Last night, we had a small group. We packed the house. I was sitting shoulder to shoulder with the people next to me as we studied Romans 14. And also find a mentor. You know, find someone that has got some wisdom, because it's difficult if you roll into a situation and you're like, man, I'm ready to just like cut it up with all the negative talk. And I've just had a rough day and just been a horrible week. I just can't wait to like let it go on someone. And I go, like, say, have dinner with Tom. Tom is awesome. Tom doesn't speak that way. Tom is gentle in spirit. He's got some wisdom to him. When Tom says something to like whatever I would say, the way he says it changes my delivery from that point on. If I said, man, my job is horrible, he says, yeah, sometimes, you know, your jobs are not where you want them to be, but, you know, at least you got a job.
Yeah.
It's hard to go negative again with someone like that. Mom's got a couple of ladies in her life that when she needs like some rah-rah, she goes to some friends, and boy, she just loves them, and they're great for her.
Yeah.
So finding a mentor is a great thing. So our verse for this section is Romans 5, verse 3 through 5.
More than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Amen. All right, so I'll mention last thing here is our Iron Sharpens Iron Masterclass. So I just described just a brief little, you know, kind of conversation I have with my mentor. And this is a masterclass that we created last year, and it has a devotion. It's got an original, a workbook, a good talk, and I think it's
a video series.
Video series as well. All related to the same topic of iron sharpens iron, that one man sharpens another. It's a great way, I think, if you're struggling with some depression, I think this would be a great resource to have and do with another guy.
Yeah,
it really would. So that's on our website at uncommon.org. And so as we wrap this up, we hope you have found some value in this, that you lean into your faith, that you kind of build some resilience, keep your depression in perspective. And if you have someone in your life that's going through some depression, reach out to them this week for sure.
Yeah. So I know we gave a challenge in the previous section, but I want to give you one more.
A double challenge?
A double challenge. Look into the church you attend and join some kind of team. Greeting team, worship team, tech team, student life, whatever that looks like.
Crochet team?
Crochet team, maybe. Wow. I don't know about that one. But look into church and see where you can help out. Because I can tell you right now, having been involved in church in very many different capacities, seeing the love that we can show to others in a different light definitely puts a perspective on it that you do not get otherwise. So if you're able, if you're not part of a church, be part of a church, and then get plugged into some kind of group.
I've always loved serving next to a brother and sister in Christ. It is fantastic.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys. Well, be sure to tune in to our next podcast as we double down on depression. And so, as we always say, if you're going to be something, be uncommon.